All this week, Raven is on vacation, so Chef Plum is sitting in. And it's funny because when I asked Chef Plum if he would be available, he said only if I could come on the air and tell you everything that's wrong with Jarlik.
Yeah, it's like a public service announcement I want to do here.
Okay, all right. I said, sure. At the time, I was like, whatever I got to say to make this happen so I could check it off my list, great. But now I have to like follow through. One, let's start with this. What is Jarlik?
Jarlik is that stuff you buy in the grocery store. It's like pre-chopped garlic in a squeeze bottle or in a small jar that you can just spoon out and add garlic to your things. Well, kind of garlic.
Why are you so mad at it?
Because if you're going to have garlic, you should take it apart and use real garlic. You know, that Jarlik stuff, there's so much bad stuff in there. They add so much. It's basically pickled. I don't want pickled garlic. It tastes gross. Get rid of it.
I mean, I've used it so many times. I don't anymore because I know how angry it makes
you. I know
you.
This is your studio, Anna, but you have to get out now.
Oh, I have to leave.
I can't be friends with you. You're an Italian. What would your dad say to you if you told him you were using Jarlik?
But here's the problem is like, I guess I noticed this the other day at my mom's house on Memorial Day. I was in her pantry.
Right.
And she has like six like the big heads of garlic.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does she have so much garlic? And I know, I guess, because she cooks a lot, so she uses it. But I don't cook a lot. So the reason why I get upset is because I buy the head of garlic. And right. Then when I finally go to use it, it gets like that green inside.
The green stem, like it's starting to grow, right?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the stem of it. Like the garlic itself is like basically a bulb that you would plant and then it would grow, you know, out of the ground. The plant would. So what you're seeing is it beginning to grow.
But does that mean it's bad?
No, you can still eat that.
You eat that?
Absolutely. You ever heard of garlic scapes?
No, what's that?
Okay, so that's the top of the garlic when it grows out of the ground.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can get them like, you know, around this time of year.
And do what with them?
You chop them up. You can make pestos with them. You can saute them and put them on top of steaks. It's delicious.
Nobody's doing that. Okay, so let's go back to garlic. All right, so the garlic, let's talk about how long it can stay good. If it's just out on your counter or in your pantry, how long is garlic good for and how do you know it's gone bad?
Yeah, you're going to get a few weeks out of it for sure. As long as it's kept in a nice dry area, it'll last for a while.
Few weeks? Like two or like four?
Two or three, I think. Oh. Two or three, I think.
Okay.
And then how do you know it's gone bad? If those cloves feel soft, don't even bother with them. Just get rid of it.
All right. So soft cloves are no good. Now, I see a lot of grocery stores lately have been offering where you can buy them fully peeled and they sell them in like plastic containers.
Yeah, the peeled garlic. Listen, way better than Jarlik, but I watched a whole documentary once on how that stuff gets peeled. I don't want to get into it because it's pretty disturbing. I wouldn't buy it.
Who?
People, they do it with their mouth and stuff.
What?
Yeah, yeah. They peel the garlic with their teeth. And
no, they don't.
Who are these people that are peeling garlic
with their teeth and then selling it at the grocery store in plastic bins?
These other countries where it comes from, where it's grown and farmed in these massive fields. It's pretty disgusting. It's very upsetting.
Oh my gosh. Who knew we had so much to talk about with Jarlik and garlic?
Jarlik just shouldn't be a thing in our world.
How about frozen garlic?
No, just use fresh garlic.
Okay.
Why are we looking for shortcuts? If you take some fresh garlic cloves and a zester, it's the easiest thing to do ever.
How about, I have a garlic press.
Okay.
But it makes a weird film inside when I press it.
So that's the outside layer of the garlic. It's fine.
What do you do with that? Because I throw it in the garbage because it scares me.
Throw it away or chop it up. It's not going to hurt you.
Okay. And if you burn the garlic... I have so many garlic questions. If you burn garlic, like you're making pasta, right? So you put a little oil,
right?
You put your garlic before you start putting your sauce in there. But the garlic burns way too fast
because
you put the oil too hot. Do you have to start over or can you fish it out with a spoon? And then you just put more garlic in there. I'm not saying I've done that. I've done that many times. But I'm wondering what happens. Does it change the sauce?
I just want to put a camera in your kitchen and just watch when you cook. Because I think, one, it would either make me so angry, or two, I would laugh very, very hard.
So I'm going to say you don't do that.
Just don't burn the garlic.
All right. Sometimes it happens.
A little bit of burn's fine. A lot of burn's no good.
Welcome to the Anti-Sleepover Club. It is nice and warm. Come and join us here.
I don't want to be on this team.
Chef Plum is sitting in for Raven. Raven's on vacation this week. Also, producer Sean is here because producer Sean, one of the vocal people that said I was nuts for being president of the Anti-Sleepover Club. And what that is I don't let my kids sleep out at other houses. I don't like sleepovers. And then, Sean, explain what happened.
Well, Isaac had a sleepover at our place with our neighbor, Christian, and it was just chaos. The kids were up all night.
Yeah.
They were just being loud, not listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But isn't that the fun part of the sleepover for the kids?
Not for the adult.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know
what? It's like a rite of passage. You kind of have to go through it.
And I have to say, I feel so bad because I was so against Anna on this.
Uh-huh.
But you know what, Anna? Consider me the vice president now.
Oh!
I'm right there with you.
Welcome. You have to get voted in, but I can put in a good word for you and endorse you as my VP.
Anna's the queen of the no fun club. Like, you shouldn't be any part of anything she's doing.
I'm telling you, I've never been a fan of them. I wasn't allowed to have them growing up. I also thought it was incredibly unfair when I was a child. And as a parent now, I don't like them either. One, like you said, it disrupts the sleep for you, but I think it disrupts the sleep for the kids too. And you were saying, Sean, that you were up all night long, right?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, like, you know, we told him by like 10 o'clock, all right, time for bed. You could kind of like, you know, maybe watch something on a tablet or put something on YouTube or whatever. But no, next thing you know, it's like it's 2 a.m. and we're like knocking on the wall like, guys, go to sleep. And not for nothing, we have a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
He's in our room and like he hears them. So he's waking up. So now we can't sleep because he's not sleeping.
Yeah. It brings us back to like the time that you were up all night. There is nothing more annoying and sad than when you're up all night and you can't fall asleep, right?
The first time I did a Food Network show, I was there out in California. They fly you out. You get there. You get excited. Oh, we're going to be here. It's exciting to be here. And then you go back to your hotel room, and they're like, your call is at 5 a.m. You know, tomorrow morning. You're like, great. I'm excited. You're so excited you can't sleep.
Yep.
Which is the time you want to sleep because you need to be rested and ready to go because it's a long day, and you're competing against other people. So you want to look good in your competition, but you're exhausted by hour two because you haven't slept.
And you're running on adrenaline at that point the next day.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I've been talking about this for the last few days. So Dakota, my little one, my 5-year-old, she came in the other night and she told me that the voices in her room say that they need help. So she came to tell me. She's like, they need help. And I'm like, who? And she's like, the voices in my room, they're so loud. And I was just like, what? What do you mean the voices? And that night, I was not able to sleep at all. She turned around like she was going to walk back to her room and just get in her bed. And I was like, no, come sleep with mommy and daddy. Come sleep with mommy and daddy. And do you know, I've made her sleep in bed with me the last 2 nights.
Yeah, you haven't been in her room in 2 nights, what we should say. You haven't even been there.
So many people texted me. Oh my gosh, I'm going to sound like a crazy person. But after we talked about this, so many people texted about like, you got to get this crystal. You have to get in there and declare this to the spirits.
What?
Yeah, like and then it's like you got to get your priest there. You haven't had your priest bless your new house. That's the problem. So all these things are coming in, and now I'm like just scared. So I've made her sleep with me the last 2 nights, which is not good because remember, it took me like 4 years to get her out of my bed into her own bed. You know.
Listen, if you watch this in a horror movie, and Sean, you could probably agree with me here. Like that's the point in time where you look. Everybody screams at the movie. Okay, time to leave.
Yeah,
time to leave.
Exactly.
Time to go. And you know what they don't do? They don't leave.
When was the last time that you could not fall asleep? All night you were up. Producer Sean was just talking about his son had his first sleepover. And he's always giving me a hard time because I'm president of the anti-sleepover club. I don't let my kids sleep out. And now he's on my side, too.
It's not fair to, you know, blame your kids for having less sleep. You know, let them have fun. They're kids.
I mean, sometimes you just don't sleep at night and you don't even know why.
It's true.
Regina, first of all, are you pro-sleepover or anti-sleepover? Let's get that out of the way.
I'm pro-sleepover as long as I get the chance to talk to the parents.
All right. Fair enough. Now, second, what happened on the night that you didn't sleep at all?
So my supervisor texts me at like 8 p.m. and he's like, we have a major meeting with a client at 2 p.m. and he needed me to create the presentation for it. I was up all night working on it. And then around 1 or 2, I tried to lay down and go to sleep, and I just could not sleep because I had so much anxiety about this last-minute request.
When you have work anxiety, I think it has to be one of the top 5 worst, like not being able to sleep. But the next day something is happening that you're not ready for or you feel uncomfortable about.
Yeah, because a career is like, that's what you do. Like, that's your thing, and you feel like something now is going to like rock that ship for you a little bit. It is. It's hard to sleep when you've got something crazy, especially last minute like that popping up. Are you kidding me?
When I first started doing the little TV that I do, I remember I would have so much anxiety the night before because I would make myself go to sleep early so I could look rested. But it was like an oxymoron because I would just lie there nervous and scared the whole night. And it just never worked.
Or it's one of those things, too, for me, you know, coming in here and hanging out with you this week to do this. You know, I can't sleep because I don't want to oversleep. So you just get nervous about it. So you don't sleep.
Right. But there's no reason to be nervous. All right, Carol, first off, are you pro sleepover or anti sleepover for your kids?
I'm pro sleepover. I think it's a great socialization for them.
Okay. What happened on the night that you didn't sleep at all? What kept you up all night?
I let my friends drunk dye my hair and we fried it off. So that was a lot of fun.
You fried off your hair?
Yep, we over-bleached it, and I pulled it off in the shower. It's very traumatic.
Oh, my gosh. How do you go to sleep at night knowing that your hair is now destroyed?
And what I love is that her preface that, I let my drunk friend do it. I think she wasn't the only one drinking, apparently, if you let that happen.
Oh, man. Plum, you dye your hair purple.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's purple. It's always a different color. Have you ever completely destroyed your hair?
No, not that far. That sounds like a terrible thing to do. And listen, the bleach itself is uncomfortable as it is. I mean, sometimes you feel a little bit of sensation there, but I can't imagine how much you have to do to make it burn off like that. That sounds awful.
Carol, let me tell you a story. It was 1995.
Okay.
Sun-In was trending like crazy. People were very excited about Sun-In because you would go to the store, you would go to your local CVS or Walgreens, whatever pharmacy store you have near you, and you would be able to buy a bottle of Sun-In for like $8.
What's Sun-In?
Sun-In was a spray that you would put in your hair, and then you would go out in the sun, and it would lighten.
It would lighten your hair. Got
it.
So, yep.
My cousin Angela and I were very excited about the prospect of this Sun-In. So we went and we got it, and we were unaware of how much that we were supposed to put in our hair. So we went to the beach. I sprayed half the bottle in her hair. She sprayed half the bottle in my hair.
Okay.
She has like dark chestnut brown hair. Her hair turned the brightest red I had ever seen. And my hair, I have blonde hair, was completely white. Not blonde.
White.
White. Yeah. And the next morning, we both got up because we had slept over each other's house, and we looked at each other, and we were like, oh, my God. And we had to, like, go downstairs and tell our moms what we did, and it was our first time that they had to bring us to the salon to fix our hair.
Clearly, this is why we don't sell Sun-In anymore.
Don't let them do it drunk. That's what I've learned.
Right. Yeah, or dead sober at 15.
No one touches your hair when they've been drinking. That's the worst decision you can make.
How many times have you screwed up cooking something and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do now? Here's the good news is that when that happens to me, I can just text Chef Plum, who's in all this week for Raven, and he'll tell me what to do.
Yeah, I can help. I don't mind helping. Like, that's part of the deal. You know, I think of myself kind of like a doctor of food.
Oh.
You know, so I can fix the mistakes, fix the things that get messed up easily. None of it's ever that big of a deal.
All right. You can call Dr. Plum right now at 1-800-330-9999. What was your worst kitchen mistake? And he will fix it. Tom, you're up first.
Okay. So this is one, the worst for me. It might not seem like the worst, but it was just utterly disappointing. I tried making cilantro lime white rice once. And I went to the store and I bought all the ingredients and I cooked it, and I thought I bought cilantro, but I accidentally purchased parsley. So I made like this parsley lime white rice, and it was just so disappointing because I love cilantro, and I was expecting a bite of cilantro, and I got just a mouthful of parsley.
Okay, so this is an easy fix, right? And I can make sure you never ever do this again. Even I have a tip for you. So when you're at the grocery store and you're looking at herbs and you want to buy cilantro, remember cilantro is rounded at the end, right? It's little rounded parts at the end of the leaf. Parsley is more pointed, more triangular at the end. So if you look at them and remember triangles for parsley, round for cilantro, you'll never forget that. It'll stick with you the whole time.
I would think pointy for parsley, because that's how I'd remember with the P.
See, that makes so much more sense.
Right.
The P, the
pointy. I'm going to do the O in cilantro, O round, round is cilantro.
See, I love this. However you get there is all that matters. I'm in with it. Whatever makes you remember it. But wait. A parsley rice, does that sound terrible? I mean, that's not awful. It could be worse things.
Wait, what is the difference between cilantro and parsley? Because you know I don't know.
Different plants.
But what's the difference in taste? What do you use one for versus the other?
So I think of cilantro as like a flavors you want to put in like salsa or in like tacos or great Mexican food. It also adds a lot of freshness and brightness to some Asian cuisines as well.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley really adds that pop, that freshness pop, right? Parsley itself is very, very healthy, very, very good for you. But the flavor itself is, the way I describe it, is earthy and fresh. You know, it kind of reminds me of like a, well, this is not going to sound great, but I think of like fresh cut grass when I have parsley, in a good way, not in like a, hey, I'm eating grass.
I don't like, so is parsley the one that they use as like a decoration for dishes?
Oh, don't get me started.
I hate it. Yes. Why do they do that? I feel like it's yucky. It doesn't belong there. And now you just ruined my dinner by putting like this chopped grass on top of it.
I mean, you are getting me into a whole world of something I call non-functional garnish. If it doesn't make sense, don't put it on the plate.
Non-functional garnishment?
Yeah.
What a dork. What is it? Tell me. Go off on a rant. Tell me about non-functional garnishment.
Listen, don't put things like parsley leaves on a plate for no reason at all. It doesn't affect the flavor. It doesn't have any business being on the plate. People who put those long stems of rosemary on a plate, I don't want firewood and kindling on my plate. If I can't eat it, it shouldn't be there. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If it doesn't go with the flavors, don't put it on there. People who put microgreens on a dish just to say I put microgreens on it, They're my enemy. They're what my kids call my ops.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I can't stand them. I get very fired up. I apologize.
That's all right. So mad.
No more rosemary.
No more. All right. Sounds good. Your worst kitchen disaster. What happened? Chef Plum is in for Raven this week, and he's going to fix it. 1-800-330-9999. Savannah.
I feel like this is a common one, but I accidentally used salt instead of sugar when I was making cookies.
Salt for sugar.
It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that's a hard one to fix. When you make your cookies, you're going to cream the eggs and sugar together, which means you whip them together until it gets nice and, you know, frothy and creamy together, the eggs and the sugar. You should notice immediately when you're doing that, the salt, that's not going to happen like that. It doesn't come together like that. Obviously, if you're confused, the way I would fix that is I would stop using regular table salt, switch to a kosher salt. It's bigger. It has a more diameter on the granules. Haven't said that word in a long time. Mm-hmm. But having that granules, you can tell it's salt instead of sugar. But when you do that, there's really no fix for it. You got to start over again.
I was about to say, you throw the whole thing in the garbage and go buy it at the grocery store and lie and say you made them.
Unless you have someone in your family you want to play a joke on or you're angry at, then you can just bake the cookies as normal, but they're super salty.
And disgusting.
Well, you're making a joke on somebody. It's fun.
Okay.
But remember, get a bigger grain salt, you know, so you can have. I actually have a salt dish that I use at my house, and my family uses it as well. It's kosher salt in a small dish that you can pinch out with your finger or with a small spoon, however you want to do it, as opposed to that table salt that's been, you know, the iodized table salt that comes in the little, like, cylinder thing. It's weird. Yeah, just stay away from that stuff.
Good to know. Thanks.
Sure.
Angelo, the mistake you made in the kitchen, what did you do? Plum's going to fix it.
I don't know how much can be fixed at this point, but I made breakfast for my family, and this was more of a safety thing, I guess, but I made breakfast, and we were in a rush. We left and came back late in the evening. I just realized that I never turned the stove off. So
what? It
ran all day. So I know it was a huge mistake. I could have burned down the entire house.
Wait, you have the stove on?
Was there any pans on the stove?
There was, because I made eggs, and I had it on low, and I just didn't even remember to turn it off when I left. And I couldn't figure out why.
Angelo,
not, so
this
I
has nothing to do with cooking. Turn your stove off. Like, what are we supposed to do for that?
I was going to say, well, here, I got the fix for you. Just make sure you turn the stove off.
Right,
How about that?
Have you ever done anything like that? Like, I mean, that could have been not a kitchen disaster, like a house disaster.
Yeah, I'm surprised nothing exploded. Usually those pans, you leave them on there, like they could explode. Some of those pans have sand on the bottom of them.
Really?
It could just explode and go everywhere if it sits too long.
Are there safer pans to use than other ones? Like, I feel like sometimes if I buy like a cheap pan at like Home Goods or something like that,
they don't last.
They don't last. But what are like the best pans to use?
For me, I go stainless steel pans all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about the nonstick pans and all that, because in a general home cook application, the nonstick pan you pay all this money for, in 2 weeks you're going to take a metal spatula to it, not even thinking twice, and scratch the bottom of it. Now it's not nonstick anymore. It's a waste of time. A good stainless steel pan, cleaned properly, will work every single time. Or cast iron works as well, too.
The only pans I ever bought were the one, and I didn't buy them. I registered for them when I got married 20 years ago.
You want someone else to buy them for you.
Right. I've had the same ones for 20 years. Yeah. I have, like, the Kathlon ones that came in a box that we bought at Bed Bath & Beyond,
right,
which I think is, like, you know, out of business now at this point.
Right.
Should you have pans, one, for that long, 20 years?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Mine, same thing. We got some all-clad pans when we got married back in 2003. And, I mean, I still have most of them. They work great. You know, they've been taking a beating, but they're great.
Is there a brand that you like, All-Clad?
I mean, All-Clad's fantastic. You know, my friends over at Ergo Chef, they just started making a new pan, which I'm kind of a big fan of. They're working well as well.
All right, great. All right, Angelo, nothing we can do about your stove, but
just
luckily it didn't blow up the house.
Turn the stove off. And by the way, don't tell anybody that story in public anymore.
Right, yeah.
I'll get some cast iron or some stainless steel pans.
Good idea. Or just like maybe like a remote kill switch for your stove or something. I don't know.
Your worst kitchen disaster. What happened when you were cooking? 1-800-330-9999. All this week, Chef Plum is in for Raven. He's on vacation, and he's solving the terrible thing you did.
We can fix it, I promise.
Can you? Let's see. We've had a couple tough ones so far today. Remy.
So I have this consistent problem where if I'm doing like a cheap pan of vegetables, I put them in slightly too long where they get a little like shriveled and sad. I still eat them, but it's just not the same.
What temperature do you usually cook in those at when you do them?
Like 400.
Okay. Do you toss them in olive oil or anything first?
Yes, I do. I do a little spray.
Okay. So let's take the spray and throw that in the garbage. Let's get some olive oil.
I mean, that's so messed up.
I mean, just, you know, it's that spray is good for spraying your grill and non-sticking things. Don't put it on your food. We don't need that stuff on your food.
How about the avocado spray that everybody's talking
about?
Does it
have to pump?
Yeah, it's like an olive oil spray.
As long as it's got the pump thing, I think it's fine. I mean, I've used some of that stuff too, but I would just use regular olive oil if I'm tossing vegetables with it. You know, I wouldn't. Don't spray it. You're not going to get enough, and I don't know. I'm not a fan. Listen. Anytime we try to make something simpler, there's always something wrong with it. It never comes out the same way. Just do it the old tried and true way. Okay. Also, so what's happening here is that you're overcooking them, taking too long, but you're probably mixing up your vegetables. So for instance, what I'm saying here, density matters. So if I'm cooking a piece of asparagus and a piece of carrot, the asparagus is going to cook first before the carrot is even finished cooking in the middle because it's denser, it's harder. So try to think about that when you're making your vegetable medley to go on the plate, on the pan to go in the oven. 400 degrees is definitely a good number to cook it at. But one of the things you can do is set a timer for yourself on your phone. Just tell your phone to do it and turn them halfway through. You know, say set a timer for 10 minutes and that timer goes off, turn them because then, one, you got eyes on it, and two, you're transferring the heat. Nobody's oven is that exact on the inside, right? Unless it's on convection, then it's still, you want to move them around once. So that's what I would think about. Consider the density of the vegetables you're cooking. Toss them with a good olive oil, or get crazy and use a little salad dressing. Toss them with that, and then make sure you turn them halfway through, because even if you don't need to turn them, at least you're looking at them and you'll know where they are. It's always better to pull them out a little bit early. Pull them a little bit early than let them stay longer, because you pull them out early, it's kind of like you can always cook it longer, but you can't take away any cooking time. You follow me?
You can't unshrivel them.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you need to put them back in, you can. But also remember that carryover cooking, that heat that's already in those vegetables as they've been cooking, will allow them to continue to cook as they sit on top of your stove and wait to be served. I said all that in one breath,
too. Yeah.
He just went off on a chef rant.
Sorry.
All right, Remy. Hopefully
good
that
luck,
helps.
Remy. Great name, by the way.
Thank you.
During the pandemic, the one thing I learned that Chef Plum could do really well is look into your pantry or your fridge, like from a video. Remember, we used to do it live on Instagram, Plum?
It was unbelievable. You would show me all the minimal things in your kitchen, and I'll tell you what you could make with it.
It's true. I would have like four things. So give Chef Plum three ingredients that you have in your fridge or your pantry, and he'll tell you what to make with it. We've been doing it all week long while Raven's on vacation.
It's a superpower. I'm telling you, I can make anything out of anything.
1-800-330-9999. All right, Cindy, go ahead.
I have some rice, some ground turkey, and some feta cheese.
Oh, rice. I mean, this is great.
These are people who are giving you easy stuff.
I know. We're not even getting difficult here. Do you have any kind of vegetables in the fridge?
Yes, I have some carrots.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Anna just made a face like someone stepped on her foot. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Mm. Listen, so we've got, is the turkey already cooked or no?
No, it's not.
Awesome. Okay, so take those carrots and we're going to chop them up. You can do a dice. You can put them into a cheese grater if you want. Chop them up. We're then going to put them in a pan and saute them or cook them in a pan with a little bit of olive oil, salt, and the ground turkey. Cook that all together to make that nice little mixture there. Don't be afraid to throw a little bit of butter in there as well to add a little more fat to it. Ground turkey itself is generally very, very lean.
Here's the one thing I'm going to tell you.
Here we go.
Cindy, about Plum. He doesn't cook healthy.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you can, but you never do. Every time we're doing something, you're like, add more salt, add more butter, add more this. And I'm like, I don't know.
Listen, there's a lot of studies out there right now that show that what people think about salt and what we've always thought is completely wrong.
Okay, now you're going to challenge the scientists?
I will. Absolutely. Okay. I'm a big guy.
All right, fair enough. So take all the butter you have in your fridge.
No, that's
six
not what
to
I
seven
said.
Pounds.
That's not what I said.
And mix it right in that ground turkey.
Just throw one little pat of butter in there, one little slice off the butter stick, put it right in there. Don't use margarine. That stuff's gross.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter in my fridge.
Anna,
my family loves it.
If this wasn't your studio, I would ask you to leave.
All right, continue.
And then you're going to take the feta cheese. Get ready, Anna. And we're going to pour some of that right into the pan as well.
Mm.
And cook it all down together. That feta cheese will start to break down and kind of add this pungentness to it and creaminess to it. Then just serve it right over top of the rice. You can cook the rice like normal, or if you want to get crazy, add some veggie stock instead of water to the rice when you cook it, or chicken stock, whatever flavor you like. Adds a lot of flavor to that rice as you're going to eat it. Don't be afraid to also season your water. Believe it or not, I said that, Anna. Can you believe it?
Are you going to add more salt to the water?
Yes.
Okay, making sure. I just wanted to make sure I got that correct.
It's a great chance to season the rice. So don't be afraid of salt. Come on, how are you? I can't believe you're yelling at me now.
I have a rice question because you brought it up. Should you be making your rice with chicken stock all the time to add flavor?
You don't have to, but you can do it with water too. It's fine. But like, you know, I usually add a little veggie stock to mine.
So if I put water in my white rice, right, just to cook it?
Yeah.
If I put a chicken bouillon, does that work too?
Yeah, sure. It's gonna. I mean, that chicken bouillon. I'm not sure how much bouillon it's supposed to make, But if the measurement is like one cube to one cup of, you know, bouillon, then yeah, it's probably fine.
Oh, okay. Asking for
super easy. And remember with rice, a fun tip, doesn't matter what you measure it in. You know, rice is usually 1-to-1. So if you can use if you have a cup measurement 1-to-1, or if you have, you know, a coffee mug, as long as it's the same measuring thing for both, you're good to go.
Cindy, what do you think about that? You could do it?
Oh, yeah, that sounds perfect.
Everybody's talking about this selfie that turned into a huge argument. Chef Plum, yeah, he's in for Raven while Raven's on vacation this week. So Jason and Kylie Kelsey have to be some of the most famous people right now, and it has a lot to do with Jason and his brother Travis.
Of course.
Travis dating Taylor Swift, and now they've got their podcast that has been catapulted into like the top 10 in the country, New Heights.
I mean, it was already a pretty big podcast to begin with,
it's true.
Then you put that behind it, it gets even bigger.
So, if you're not familiar with Jason's wife Kylie, she calls herself a homemaker. Like, she takes care of the house and the kids and all the power to her, but she is not afraid to like step up to people, and she has said it before, like, if you come up on my man, like, I'm coming at you, you know.
She's a former athlete herself. I mean, we're not talking about a diminutive human here,
right? So they were out to dinner in New Jersey on a date night,
right?
And this drunk lady approaches them and asks for a selfie. Kylie politely declines, and there are many people there that said, nope. She said, you know, she was very polite about it. We're doing a private thing tonight, and that was it. The drunk lady gets all up in her face, and this is what the argument sounds like.
Middle of the street, you are. I'm never allowed in this house. No. You'll never be allowed in this town.
Now, if you're having a hard time making that out, the drunk lady's yelling, "You're never going to be allowed in this town again."
That's right. That's right.
Right.
She's town security. She makes all the rules for people who can come into that town in New Jersey.
And Kylie's saying back to her, like, "Save your breath. You're embarrassing yourself," which she was in fact doing. That woman should be humiliated today.
Just,
humiliated.
She's got to be, because it's one, it's everywhere, and two, I mean, you're talking to someone who you know people are going to pull. And we live in the world of cameras, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has a camera. You shouldn't do things like that.
Nope. And long story short, the mayor has apologized, has invited them back anytime, says he owes them another date night, and apologizes for this woman's behavior. Now, long story short,
wow.
I mean, it's exactly what should happen. And because of the podcast, they talk about everything. I'm sure it's only a matter of time, if not today, that they'll talk about this and they'll have their own take on what happened.
It's a great podcast, by the way. They're notoriously nice people.
Yes. What's the most embarrassing selfie you ever asked? A celebrity.
Tell the story.
Tell the story.
Do I have to tell the story?
Yes.
Okay, so I was a big Walking Dead fan. You guys know that show on AMC, The Walking Dead?
Yep.
Right? So I luckily got asked to do a party for Norman Reedus in the city, and massive Walking Dead fan. So I'm in Norman Reedus' house, you know, and his wife is Diane Kruger. And I'm there, and I'm doing dinner. I'm trying to be cool. Just let's be normal. Let's be regular. I'm like, listen, that's Norman Reedus right there. That's Daryl from The Walking Dead. Which I was surprised how much bigger I was than him, but that's TV.
Well, you're a big guy.
Well, right, but yeah. I was like, he's not a big guy. But so we're there, I'm being cool the whole time, right, making dinner. When it was finally all done, we cleaned up, I just said, hey, man, I really appreciate all your work. You do such a great job. And I have a rule, I never ask for pictures from people, because I don't think it's classy. You want to be classy and be like, nothing's ever a big deal. You want to act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help it. And I was like, do you mind? Can I just take a quick picture? And he was like, yeah, man, no problem. Because he has that voice.
Yeah.
And it, like, the Daryl voice is a real thing. Yeah, man, no problem. So I took the selfie, and I was so excited. I took the selfie. It's on my Instagram. You can see it at chef_pop.
Oh, no, we'll put it up on ours.
Yeah.
Let's put it on Anna and Raven.
And I go home, and I tell my wife, and she's like, what is the matter with you? And I'm like, you know what? You are absolutely right. How embarrassing is that?
I never asked for selfies either, but I asked Jimmy Fallon for one at an event.
Yeah.
And he was so nice. He was like, yeah, okay. It was almost like he was startled by me, you know?
Well, Anna, you do run up on people.
I was like, excuse me, I am a very big fan. It's okay if I take a selfie. And if you look at my eyes, I have the craziest eyes. And I'm like, no wonder why he had to say yes, because he's like, this woman is a psychopath. And every time I look at that picture, I think, I can't even like post this because I have crazy eyes in it. Yeah, you know what? Go to our Instagram at Anna and Raven. Give me a second. I'll put it up on our story so you can see it yourself. You can see both these.
Do you still have his wallet? Because obviously he gave it to you.
Stop it. Producer John, producer Sean Plum is in for Raven while Raven's on vacation. John, you were just talking about this. What happened?
Yeah, so I worked a private event a couple of weekends ago, and I'll spare you the details to protect the innocent. But there was a ton of kids there, like specifically middle school age kids, like 13-year-old kids, right?
The worst age. Sorry.
That's exactly right. That any person
the worst age.
Like can be. And they were really sweet and they were really fun and like participating
disclaimers.
In the show, but they're gonna get nuts. They're gonna get a little bit nuts. And there was a bar, an open bar at this event.
As any good event should have.
And it was 20 minutes before they all started trying to order drinks from these poor bartenders.
I just don't understand. Like, after the bartender tells the first kid, no, I'm not going to serve you, you're a child, what? Why do kids, and it's always the boys, think that every single one of them should also go try to order a drink?
Wasn't just the boys, but here's the thing. What do you do when you're 13 years old and someone tells you no, Anna?
You accept the fact that that was the answer?
Yes, no, definitely, 100%. No. 100%.
Especially when you're with a group of other kids, all you want to do is go to, because you want to be the one that actually gets it and be like, ha, look what I got.
See, now that might have happened with your, when your older daughter was 13, because I know she's like a complete angel. But let's think about your younger daughter for a second.
So here's the generational problem with that. Right. See, the generational problem with that is I would go up and ask them at 13 years old and slip them a 20.
That's wow.
Then you get it, you know? Wow. That's how you do it.
It's not 1987, Plum.
it's got to be at least a 50 now. Yeah.
Come on. How old do you think I am?
I was thinking about it.
It's
I'm like,
be a 50.
You make some serious mistakes when you're 13 years old. You know, like, and they're dumb mistakes. Like, we put on our social media last night, what was the worst thing you did when you were 13? And I was dying laughing because I didn't even know this about my best friend. But she wrote, stole my parents' car to go drive to the school dance. And I texted her. I go, are you serious? She's like, well, it was 2 months before I turned 14. That was her response.
Oh, that makes it better. Yeah, that makes it better.
Sean, you had to do a lot of bad stuff when you were 13.
All right, so I have done things even before 13. I don't want to incriminate myself here, so I'm not going to go into details about probably the worst things that I've done. But I do think when I was 13, one of the bad things that I did is me and a few friends set up another kid to rob him. We did just that. We were so mad because all he had in was like $65 that we broke into his house and stole stuff from him when they were sleeping.
Sean, everything you said about that is awful and illegal.
The regret on Anna's face as soon as you said the word rob him. The regret.
I had qualms about coming to do this bit. I did. Because when you said we're doing this bit, I looked at John. I'm like, I don't know if I should be on this.
Oh.
I looked at Sean and said, you need to be on this.
All right.
Family-friendly programming here.
Right. Plum.
I promise.
Did you ever
now.
Break into somebody's house and steal their money when you were 13?
Do I have to answer that question? Yes. As a matter of fact, I did.
No.
Not quite as bad as Sean, but yes. There was a house that down the side road in my neighborhood that someone had moved out of.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have a lot of supervision as a kid. My father died when I was young. My mom was never around. They had moved out, and I guess they moved out in a hurry. And Sean, you're with me here. Like, you could see there was still stuff in the house, and no one had been there for a month.
Go for it.
We watched it. So at late night, we went in there, and we just took everything. I had the nice Emerson Kmart stereo. I was like, let me get that.
Are you guys high-fiving each other?
We did.
Weirdos?
The
what?
Worst part was then when my brother caught me, and that little snitch told my mom.
Oh,
stop.
He did.
Good.
Haven't spoke to him since.
Yeah. You couldn't have bribed him with some of the stuff that you got?
You couldn't take it back because they were, he destroyed it in front of me. Like,
yeah,
that's messed up.
Producer John went to a party where all the 13-year-old kids kept going to the bar and trying to order drinks. I mean, how many times you got to be turned down at the bar before you're like, probably not getting it?
Listen, I appreciate their commitment to it.
Mm-hmm. Chef Plum's in for Raven all this week while he's on vacation. But when you're 13, sometimes you do some messed up stuff.
That's for sure.
What was the most messed up thing you did? 1-800-330-9999.
How much time we got?
Angela.
So it wasn't me. It was my brother. So it was a high school where we lived. Before he went to high school, he broke into another high school and like stole all the graphing calculators. Remember, they were big when we were younger.
Graphing calculators.
And then he gave it to all the neighborhoods. He gave it to all the kids in the neighborhood.
It was like Robin Hood.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Hey, those things are expensive.
So oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, the teachers were like, "Oh my God, how'd you guys get these?" I'm like, it was a gift.
And you still have it to this day.
Oh, man. Those graphing calculators are the biggest scam of all time. They're expensive.
So expensive.
They're dumb. I never even learned how to use mine with all those buttons.
Never.
Oh, I wish your brother got me one. John, worst thing you did when you were 13?
I actually took my dad's car. He used to work nights. And while he was sleeping, I took my dad's car and picked up a bunch of my friends from down the road and brought them all over and hung out and played baseball in the backyard all day.
I mean, that feels like an after-school special, like a very cute story about, we're going to hang out with my friends and play baseball in the backyard.
Except you stole a car and put other people's lives in danger.
No, listen, it's the little things. We can't harp on the little things.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Glad you survived it. You know, speaking of, like, brothers doing things, too, I forgot this, but when the internet first came out,
right.
My brother was probably, like, 12 or 13 years old, and he sent, like, a bomb threat to somebody. And I want to say it was like to Bezos or somebody like that.
Amazing.
Or Bill Gates. And I remember the FBI showed up at our house.
No.
Yes. And it was like, and my dad was answering the door. He was like,
they were
there to find my brother. And all of a sudden, here comes my child brother coming down the stairs. And that's how we learned about internet safety very early on. I mean, it was like back when it was like AOL dial-up.
Oh my
times.
God. I can't even imagine. FBI.
Yeah. We're looking for Joe. Well, he's 4 foot tall. That's it. Samantha, worst thing you did when you were 13 years old?
I snuck out of my house to see a boy that probably didn't even like me.
At 13?
Yes. I mean, in the middle of the night.
That seems a little young to be sneaking out to see boys. What are we talking about here?
It was terrible.
Anna, how often did you sneak out to see a boy?
Raven and I were just talking about this last week. I have never snuck out of my house ever. I am terrified of my parents, even now that I'm in my early 40s. Like, I even if I was sleeping at my parents' house, right. I wouldn't try to leave without notifying them first. I was scared then. I'm scared now. And I would never, ever do it.
That's hilarious.
I know. And you want to know what I think is interesting? And Samantha, you might actually agree with this, is like you would never be able to get away with that now with all the cameras and security. And like a Jelly Roll was just in the news because his daughter tried to sneak out and she got escorted right back by security.
It's totally true. I have cameras all over the place, looking at my driveway, my front porch, every entrance and exit to the house. I mean, yeah, you're not going to go anywhere without me knowing.
If my daughter tried to open a window in like her bedroom,
right.
Like, all of a sudden everything would go off. Which is why it's so much better now than it was back then.
Can you imagine? I would be in so much trouble if we had the camera technology back then that we have now.
Right. We were the last generation to be able to get away with it.
We can get away with anything.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Going to take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and it's up for you to decide who's right. Sarah and Keith. Sarah, what's going on?
Well, you know, my husband, he wants to get our son cigars for his graduation. And, you know, I'm struggling with that. I just totally disagree with it. I don't believe in anyone, you know, having nicotine, but especially teenagers. So I'm just really frustrated about this entire situation and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit of a sketchy thing to do there, but I get it. Celebration, graduation, that makes sense.
How old is he?
He's 17.
Keith, why would you want to support something like that?
I mean, it's technically illegal.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not necessarily supporting him picking up a smoking habit, but I am supporting him celebrating a major milestone with his friends. And let's be honest, it's in a confined environment. I'm buying them for him. They'll be around us. I mean, it's not like we're causing them to sneak around outside and do it behind our backs. I feel like this is the safest way to go. And I don't know if either of you have ever smoked a cigar. I mean, I've only tried it once. One, it's pretty brutal. And two, you don't really inhale anyway. So what's the harm of him just inhaling and blowing some smoke right out with his friends? That's how I see it.
Sarah, let me ask you this. How do you think his friend's parents would feel about this?
This is where it gets tricky.
I mean, you know, it kind of depends on the parent, but I know a lot of the parents, and they will be upset. And
right.
I don't want that coming back on our family, you know, and people being upset or thinking that we're influencing people underage to do this kind of stuff.
This is where I get a little bit like it gets tricky, because it's one thing if he said, Dad, can you buy me a cigar?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that's an argument between, you know, Keith, you and Sarah. Like, well, you know, do you want him to do it or not? Right. But when you get other people involved where you're making decisions for children that are underage and you're not involving their parents, it's not like you're sending out waivers to the kids like that are coming to your house for this graduation party.
Right. Or Keith, do you mean, are you trying to set him up to take a puff off a cigar, cough uncontrollably, and realize they hate it the rest of their lives and never want it? Are you trying to take the good angle with it?
Well, I mean, if that's what happens, I think that's definitely a win. And, you know, if his friends, I can't be responsible for everyone else's kids, honestly. You know, I assume they've talked to their parents, and if they're coming over, they're making decisions that their family would be in line with. And, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's you got to learn about electricity by sticking a fork in the socket, and then you'll never do it again.
Same thing with drinking, though. It's like if your person that's not of age asks for a drink, right? and you're the parent and you say it's okay, that's one thing. But if they're at your house and all of a sudden they're stealing a High Noon from the refrigerator, then you become responsible and it's a whole different thing.
Right. I do not want to be responsible for my kids drinking High Noon. We want to have something a little more respectable, a glass of wine, something like that.
That was your problem with this conversation, Noon? All right. You're like, Spike Seltzer, that was 2020.
What's wrong with you? I have a Zima.
What do you think? If you were the dad, would you buy cigars for the kids for the graduation party? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If your teenager asked for you to buy cigars for him and his friends for their high school graduation, would you have a problem with that? That is what's going on with Sarah and Keith. Keith doesn't really think it's a big deal. You know, he figures he's graduating. What's the big deal? Like, they want to celebrate. That's what people do to celebrate. That's what guys do to celebrate. I'll buy a few cigars for him.
Yeah, and surprise, Sarah hates this idea. She says he's too young. It's starting a bad habit. You can't give it to his friends. You know, there's definitely two very, very far opinions here.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
It's Victoria, Anna. I would not buy him a cigarette, pack of cigarettes, a cigar. I would tell him the bad about stuff like that. So I agree with the mom.
And you have to explain, like, this is bad for you. I mean, I wouldn't that be like the first thing you did? Is like, you know, this causes cancer. Everybody knows that now. It's not 1973 anymore.
Yeah, I don't think this is even really a conversation, but I couldn't agree more. And I get the celebration factor. I understand how, listen, wonder something to kind of make the moment and everything, but you know, I don't think everybody agrees with it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's couples court. If your son wanted to graduate and celebrate his graduation by having a cigar, would you buy them for him and his friends if they were 17 years old? Ah, that's a disagreement between Sarah and Keith today, because Keith thinks it's no big deal. They want to celebrate. It's a cigar. It's no big deal. It's a one-time thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and I don't know if I totally agree with it, but Sarah thinks that this is a terrible idea. She thinks that they're too young and there's other families involved. It's not a good call.
What do you think? Would you do it? Would you be the one that buys them? 1-800-330-9999. Katie, whose side are you on?
I'm 100% on the wife's side. I'm sorry. I can, you know, it is one thing if, you know, it's just you, your son, and your husband. But I'm sorry, why do we still need this sort of outdated tradition of having, like, cigars to celebrate a milestone or something like that? If the kid isn't smoking initially, why would you want to even expose them to that?
Yeah. Who knows what kind of seeds you're planting there, right?
Funny, because I've been hearing that cigars are making a comeback.
Really?
And I thought for a long time, like, we were over that, and it was kind of, like she was saying, outdated. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sharon. You know what? Excuse me, this guy's a total Why would you encourage your 17-year-old kid to start smoking? Are you kidding? It's going to lead to cancer and everything else. I mean, if I was the wife, I would divorce him. He's a total jerk.
Thanks, Sharon.
There's so many other things you can be giving the kid.
I mean, I feel like Sharon was really...
Sharon was ready to just... She had an opinion and wanted everybody to know it.
Yeah, it's always funny when people call and they're like, divorce him! Whoa!
It's very angry. Like 0-60.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
I agree with the wife. I think this is definitely a bad idea. First of all, why do you want to contribute to the delinquency of a minor? And whether you think they spoke to their parents once, you know they didn't talk to their parents about this at all, and they are not going to. It is a very, very bad idea.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sarah, our audience agreed with you. Keith, it's not like you're making the decision just for your own child. You're making the decision for other children, too. And because of that, the audience did not agree.
Well, you know, I'm glad that other people see what it is, you know, that I feel. And, you know, I'm glad that people have common sense and know that that's just inappropriate.
Yeah, I think if you're going to end up buying other kids something illegal or so, I don't know, it's just you got to talk to their families, have them involved. You can't just do that. I would be very upset as a parent if that happened to my children.
Yeah, Keith, you going to be okay with this?
I still think rather than letting them run around, do it behind our backs in a controlled environment where we can talk to them a little bit about it and teach them some safe habits is smarter than just saying outright no and letting them then come to their own conclusions without us knowing what's going on. But look, I will take a step back and say, all right, you know, it's someone else's children and I cannot be deciding on their behalf. So I get it.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
All this week, while Raven is out, Chef Plum is stepping in, and we're giving away something incredible.
That's
what is
right.
it?
This is an immersion stick blender from All Clad from our friends at Williams-Sonoma. This thing is great. You can stick it in and blend sauces. You can blend soups. You can make ice cream with it. You can make whipped cream with it. Can I keep going? How many things you can make with it?
You can make a lot of things. I get it. But hold on. Hi, John. You ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Are you familiar with how to play Heads Up?
Yes. I just got the rundown from my wife.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Chef Plum is terrible at this game.
Don't let it down.
Yeah. I'm not terrible.
All right. He has to give the clues. In the clues, he has 60 seconds. You have to get six correct. Plum, you're getting better as the week goes on, but it's been real rough.
That's hurtful. Well, John, listen, I'm standing right now because I'm so excited. We're going to do this together. I'm going to give you two categories. Now, listen, when you know the answer, even if I'm talking, just blurt it out as loud as you can, okay?
Yeah, yell it out loud so loud. I can hear you, okay?
All right.
All right. So your category choices are fast food or salads?
Which one should I do, Hank?
Difficult choices here. These
fast
are
food. Okay.
I'd go fast food if I were you.
I'm
trying to help.
Stop.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, my son's saying fast food. We don't eat a lot of fast food, but I'm going to try my hand at fast food.
All right, here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. Get ready. Go.
Golden Arches.
McDonald's.
Little Redheaded Girl is their mascot.
Wendy's.
A Green Star serves coffee.
Starbucks.
When you get this when you were a child from McDonald's, you're one of the happiest people ever.
You said happy. You can't do it. Next one.
It's a place where you get large sandwiches, a Connecticut-based company. You can get
Subway.
Yes. This sandwich is, it's not a Little Mick. It's a
McDouble?
It's the most popular sandwich at McDonald's.
Did you say
Big
Mick?
Mac.
Go, next.
I didn't say it.
Go.
Best side dish at every fast food place.
Fries.
KFC serves this.
Twister?
Nope, KFC.
Chicken.
Kentucky.
Chicken?
Yeah.
Fried chicken.
There
yes,
it is. There you go.
Hey, that 54 seconds.
That was close, right?
Oh, that was real close.
That
I was getting
close.
Nervous.
We
but
had
you thought you did a great job. Congratulations, John. You won this immersion blender.
I can't wait to see what you do with
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
All right. Hold on the line. We're going to get all your info. You're getting better at this game as the week goes on.
That was pretty good. Why can't I? I said
you
Little
said,
Mick.
You said Little Mick. The answer is Big Mac.
Yeah, Little.
No.
It's the opposite.
Absolutely
well,
not.
I think that's. No. Send it to the judges.
Yeah, I am the judge. All right, you're going to have a chance to play coming up tomorrow. And if you want to get yourself in line, text the word chef to 1-800-330-9999.
I thought Little Mick was good.